welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your goodness. Your mercy, speak to us this morning. I pray, help us to take steps forward in our journey with you, to be wiser, purer, better for you, Jesus, this morning. Amen. Give someone a high five. Give me a bit of loving. Hallelujah. Yes, I went to the Easter show without my phone. Which doesn't sound like anything, except, you know, when the kids get an armband with the parent's phone number on it. Well, I pretty much needed to do that too, because if I got lost, I don't know the phone numbers off by heart anymore. When we were kids, you had to learn it, but I know Chris's, that's it. So then I said, Eleanor, I better just write your number down and I put it on a program so that if they disappeared, I could say to someone, let me ring, because, you know, back in the day we had systems, meeting places, but not anymore. Praise the Lord. So the other day, about three weeks ago, I was praying and looking out my window. I've got a lovely spot. I can see out to the hills and the trees, and it was calm, and I was having a great prayer time. And then a huge wind came up. Really, really big. I'm just watching it going, whoa, and the tree outside my window was like, and these huge gum trees over on the ridge were going, like, that was just like, whoa. And I knew that God was speaking to me because it was just too much, you know. It was like, you were just praying. It's quite calm, this massive wind. And I know that God uses nature to speak to us. You know, he speaks to us through creation. And so I was like, what are you saying? I didn't even know what he was saying. I was just like, God. I didn't know what he was saying. But when I don't know what God's saying, I then go and say, what were you saying to me, God? Like, what is that? And so I started to do a big Bible study about the wind and the storms. And I want to preach this morning on some of the things that I discovered about the storms of life. Because life has storms. And we are all going to go through storms. No one avoids a storm. Whether it's a natural storm, there's always storms in Australia, or a spiritual one. And, sometimes we actually create our own storms. I'm going to talk about three different types of storms that I found in the Bible. There's lots of different storms in our world, but I want to talk about three. And the first one is storms that we run into ourselves, that we basically create or go hunting for, you know, like those crazy people in America, those storm chasers. It's like, what are you doing? It's so dangerous. But in Australia, just this year, 2026, there was 15 rescues in a single day in the Pilbara region following tropical cyclone Narelle. One father and daughter had to walk 13 kilometres for help after their car was washed away. They ignored warnings and just drove on through the floodwaters. Two tourists died after their car was submerged by floodwaters in Gympie region, again, ignoring the warnings. I mean, it's a thing in Australia, isn't it? We just see the flood and we think, yeah, it should be right, and just drive on through. And, it's kind of okay if you're out on, you know, if you're down at Erina going past the Central Coast Grammar, you'd probably be all right, but not always. Actually, no, there was a man that died. He took that flood on about 3 years ago and died. His car, I know. So disobedience leads to consequences. And if you have a warning of a clear and present danger, we need to stop, not be a storm chaser, not go, she'll be right, or, well, I can do it, and be stubborn, and stop. The Bible is absolutely full of warnings for disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a whole chapter that says, if you do these things and disobey me, you'll be cursed. Your life will go bad. It's just all there. And the whole Bible is full of it. Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So let's look at Jonah. In Jonah 1:1-3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, because their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God told him what to do. He didn't want to. I don't want to do that. For whatever reason, he didn't like them very much, those people. So that's what he did. It's just straight up disobedience. And what happened? Jonah 1:4. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. This is a massive storm. It says the sailors were terrified. Sailors are used to big winds, but this was bad. And they're like, we're going to lose everything. They're throwing the cargo overboard. They're trying to rescue themselves. So, you know, when we disobey God, it's just as an aside, apart from putting ourselves in a bad storm, we put others around us in a bad storm. It affects us, and it affects our family, and it affects our children. It affects our society when we are disobedient. And so these storms, these sailors are having a terrible time, and Jonah knew that it was his fault. He knew. He said, this is because of me. And so what happened? It says that he said in Jonah 1:12, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then the sea will become calm for you. Because I know this great storm is because of me. I know it's because of me. So a few things that we see there. First of all, that God controls wind and the waves and the storms, and he can do what he wants with them. Because it says he created this storm. In Psalm 135, verse 6 and 7, it says, the Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out his wind from his storehouses. Proverbs 30, verse 4, he gathers the winds in his fist. Psalm 148, verse 8, fire and hail, snow and clouds and stormy wind fulfill his word. So God can use storms when he wants to. This is a little bit of sort of debate. Is it the devil? Is it God? It's like, you know what? I don't really know. Sometimes it's a little hard to know. We know that, you know, sometimes the devil gets permission, but it's just, it says the Lord sent out a wind. So that's how I read it. Matthew Henry says this, sin brings storms and tempests into the soul, into family, into churches and nations. It is a disquieting, disturbing thing. So, when you disobey God, you might find yourself in a storm. And that's very sobering, but true. But do you know something? It's the Lord's mercy that he sends these storms. He sends these storms because he loves us. He doesn't stop loving us. He loves us. And so he sends a storm, which is really like a discipline. And in Hebrews we see the Bible says, don't despise the Lord's discipline. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by him, because he disciplines the one he loves. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. So that's what happened with Jonah. Jonah's realizes he's been disobedient. I've made this mess. I've done this. I've disobeyed God. And maybe sometimes we know that too. It's like, yeah, that, you know, shouldn't have left my wife, or that adultery, or that, you know, I don't know, trying to steal from the boss and I got caught, or you know, or just when we just know we're disobeying God, we get ourselves into a mess. And what does Jonah do? First of all, he acknowledges that this is me. I've done something here. I've messed up. And he says in Jonah 2:2, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Well, first of all, there was a storm, but then, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole story because I've got a few, but he gets swallowed by a whale. God sends a whale. And this is the pits. Like, he's in the pits. He's in the whale. He's in the storm. Like, that would be very horrible, being inside a whale. Very unpleasant. But he cries. It says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. And he says even in Jonah 2:9, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. So this is the answer, isn't it? wherever you are, if you've made a storm for yourself, if you've got yourself in this situation, to cry out to God like Jonah. Just cry out and say, God, help me. Help me. I've made a mess. And he was even grateful. Thank you for stopping me from disobeying you. And then I love this. It says, then God's word came to Jonah a second time. There it is. He said, all right, so let's get the fish to get you out on the beach. Now, go and preach to Nineveh. There's the encouragement. We get a storm. God's like, we're going, what is going on? I'm in the most messy situation. But if we will be honest and real and acknowledge that maybe it was us, maybe we missed it, then God is very gracious and he gives us another chance. And in my experience, often another one after that and another one. He's very good. He's very good. And remember, especially now, as we are under the grace of God and under the fact that Jesus took our punishment, he's not punishing us for sin. It's consequences. It's what happens. If you go out in the rain, you get wet. So some storms we put ourselves into, but God is good and he will help us to be delivered. Sometimes a storm comes because of the society around us. Sometimes we just find ourselves in a nation or a society that's at war or going through fuel shortages or recession or COVID, and it's not our fault. We haven't done anything wrong. We're just here and it's happening and we're just watching it happen and watching the news at night going, honestly, sometimes the government announces something. I can remember hearing something they announced. Sounds good. I thought, that's not going to work. Yeah, that's not going to work. That's just going to blow out. The costs are going to be terrible. It's not going to work. And 3 or 4 years later, I think, I should be an advisor. I should be a government advisor. I could have told them that's not going to work. It's so frustrating sometimes, isn't it? It's like common sense sometimes, guys. But anyway, thank God for our politicians. It's not an easy job. So Noah was, Genesis 6, 9 to 11. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He's a good guy, but he is living in a bad place, in a bad country, in a bad time. There's just evil people all around him. The earth was corrupt, full of violence. Full. Everybody is killing, maiming, hurting, no doubt raping. It was a wicked, wicked society. Horrible society, and Noah's living in the midst of it. And so God decided to destroy the society of mankind at that time. He told Noah to build an ark, and that's exactly what Noah did. He did everything that the Lord had commanded him. God sends this massive earth-wide storm. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. So sometimes we're just in this situation where it's a mess. I mean, we had that a bit with COVID, didn't we? It wasn't quite as bad as a worldwide flood, but it was a worldwide pandemic. And for many people, it was just an horrific time, you know. But what Noah did and what we need to do is build an ark. Noah obeyed God and built an ark. That's what God wanted him to do. He listened and obeyed. And God gave him real detail about how to do that. He wants to be our refuge in a time of trouble. So whether you're feeling like, the interest rate's going up again and the finances, or whether, you know, whether it's a pandemic or whatever it is, if we listen to God, he wants to be our refuge and strength. And I love this Psalm 46:1, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The earth be removed, the mountains, that's bad. When mountains are falling into the ocean, that's a bad time. So he said, but he says, we will not fear. Why are we not afraid? Because we've run to God and we've said, God, be literally my refuge and ark around us. And he's calling us to know how to build an ark. How to build an ark. First of all, in the presence of him, Jesus, we need to be born again. We need to be with God. Need to make sure that we're on his side. But then just finding a place of peace, finding what does the word say? That, yeah, I feel like you build this ark with the word of God and then with prayer, and then you get some special people around you. You know, we need the right people to be praying with us and supporting us. And we can literally build an ark and feel like I'm on a rock. the rock of ages. I don't know how I'm okay, but somehow I am in the midst of this. And that's what we found. I know that as a church, we found that with during that period of time with COVID, we were able to just stay calm. We didn't have any massive, you know, illnesses. We had an enormous LGA, so that was nice. We could go for walks all over the Central Coast, unlike some of my Sydney friends. We got asked, Chris and I got asked quite a lot during and afterwards, you know, how did you go with COVID? Because a lot of people said their churches just fell apart. They said, people just stopped coming and then they never came back. And the finances plummeted and the churches, it was a real thing. In the States, a lot of churches had to close down during COVID because people went, oh, well, we don't have to go to church every Sunday. Oh, well, we won't. But you guys were all faithful and true. And we kept strong and, we preached here. I remember seeing Byron preach one day, just an empty room. We're just filming away. And it was like that. It's almost like we ride on the wave of what, it is terrible and it was horrible for many people. But there's almost a sense you can be insulated in that ark when you're with the Lord. And we can ride over the top of it. And that's what God wants us to do when society is falling around all about us. He wants us to go to him as a refuge and find him as a refuge and really be sure that we know how to do that. And I know that sometimes for me, the year before, I got really sick and I never get sick, so I was very disappointed. It was just awful. I didn't realise it made me more compassionate for people that get sick, but I was very sick. And I had pneumonia, like mild pneumonia. But, I just exactly had to do that to get into the Word, and I couldn't sleep at night. I had to sleep sitting up for weeks. It was very unpleasant. So, just build an ark. Just get people to believe for you and get people to get your word of God around you. And you have to be very diligent building an ark. Like, it's not just a little thing, is it? It doesn't just happen. I mean, no, I didn't go, oh, that sounds good. We'll have a bit of a go. It's like, this is a very big deal. And building an ark, it takes a lot of work and a lot of energy and a lot of planning and thinking. And that's what we have to do sometimes. Sometimes I see people going through a storm or going through something, and I feel like they're not being diligent enough. It's like, be diligent. Think about how much work it took to build that enormous ark, which you can go and see an exact copy, by the way, in Kentucky, I believe, in the States, which would be fun. But think about the work. Are you prepared to put that work in when times are tough, or are you just going to lie in bed and go, oh, it's so hard? It's like, well, I don't know. I'd build an ark if I was you. You don't want to get drowned along with everyone else. So there are storms in society. The answer is to build an ark and obey God, just as Noah did. And then one more reason why there's many reasons, but another one that I looked at, a reason why you might have a storm in your life is because you are righteous. Because you're so good and so righteous that you're getting attacked. And the Bible's very clear about this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Did you hear that? Many. Many afflictions. Why? Because you're righteous. That's not super fun there, is it? And that's exactly what happened with Job. So let's look at Job 1:9-12. It says this. Satan, God pointed out how good. Did you notice Job? He's good, isn't he? Very happy with Job. And Satan said, yeah, does Job fear God for nothing? You've put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has, which is a nice thought. God can put a hedge around our world. You've blessed the work of his hands, so his flocks and herds are spread through the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said, very well. Everything he has is in your power, but don't lay a finger on the man himself. Whoa, that's so full on. So, and so we read how everything Job had was destroyed, everything, like his business, his cattle, his flocks, his farm, his houses, and then his children. I mean, it's just like, oh. And then really, that all happens in chapter one, and then the rest of the whole time is Job like, what is going on? And his friends are coming over and saying, oh, well, Job, you know, clearly you're another Jonah. No, I think Job was before Jonah, but, you know, just imagine, you know, obviously the storm in your life is because you've done something wrong. And Job's like, I don't think I have. I don't know. I mean, Job was good. You've got to... We don't know sometimes because, I mean, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. We go, am I a Job or a Jonah here, God? I don't know. Is this me or is it just an attack? I don't know. But do you know what we do need to do? We need to humble ourselves before God and he can show us. If we're really honest and true, he'll show us, have we got ourselves in this mess or is it an attack? Or to be honest, probably a little bit of a combination of both. Because, you know, we're not totally righteous. We probably have given the devil a foothold in some areas. But I do know that when we're going through a storm, in all of these cases, with Jonah, Noah and Job, they all cried out to God. And that's really, I think, one of the main reasons God allows these storms. Because we can get a little casual, you know, oh, yeah, God, oh, I've got to pray. Oh, just quick before I go to work. Oh, quick pray, you know, off to work. Or, oh, I didn't pray today. Oh, I'll just throw one up. I'm in bed. I don't want to get out of bed. Well, I'll just pray from my bed. You know, we get a little casual sometimes in our relationship with the Lord, but not when there's a storm. Not when there's a storm. We're like, we get desperate. And God... You know, he knows that. And so sometimes I think that's why he allows these things, because we're just like, God, that's right. I need you. He goes, yeah, you do, don't you? And so we need him. And so, yes, there is a time of perplexity sometimes. Paul said, I'm perplexed in Corinthians, but I'm not giving up. And so Job experienced that perplexity, experienced difficult things, wrestling with God, trying to find wisdom and peace, trying to understand what's going on. That's a season in the storms. But then I love this verse so much. This is so beautiful. Listen to this. Job 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Or that word can also be storm. He answered him from the storm. The Lord answered him. So right in the midst of the storm, right in the midst of it all, it says that God answered him. Isn't that beautiful? That you think, has God deserted me? Like, what am I doing out here in this crazy situation? But it says, no, he's answering you in the storm. If we keep pressing in during the storm, we find he's speaking to us, which is just so precious. That's what we want. And if God speaks to us, really, his word is everything. He brings the answer. He brings, with Job, he didn't even tell him why. I don't even know who found out about the devil. Who wrote the book of Job? Like, who knew about the devil talking to, was that someone later? Or did Job get that revelation and wrote it? We don't really know. It doesn't say that God told him. When God answered him, God just starts talking about creation. Do you know where wind comes from? Do you know? And Job's like, oh, I don't know anything, God. Just help me. He just realizes, I don't understand. And we don't understand sometimes what we go through. It's like, I don't know. But I do know that I cried out to you, and I do know that you're with me. I also know this, and this is interesting, in Job 31, 2-3, God says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will answer you, and you will... I will question you and you will answer me. So this is really interesting. First of all, who darkens counsel? Don't be going out and getting some dark counsel when you're going through a storm. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of counsellors are very dark in their what they offer. It's just dark. It's just stupid. It irritates me. So don't get bad advice. Don't listen to the darkness of the world and their counsel. They're doing their best sometimes, but they don't have the light of the gospel of the glory of God. I can't really understand why any of you would see a counsellor that's not born again. I mean, they don't even understand sin. They'll just tell you it's your parents' fault, you know. It's like, well, maybe, but come on, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you go, by all means, get counsel, get wisdom, get advice, but get wise counsel. We have some wise counselors in this church, even professional wise counsels. Get wise counsels. Get counsel of light and wisdom and the word of God. People come and tell me what the counselor said, and I'm like, right, but that's not the same as what the Bible says, you know, kind of like we actually Christians, we follow. And I know a bit what I'm talking about, because when I had a couple of my little boys that were, you know, foster boys, we had to take them to counselling a lot. And I was often involved. I often had to go too. So I went to counsellors that I wasn't able to choose. So the government told me, you have to take these two little boys and you have to go and listen to this counsellor. So I'm like, all right. So I did. And I'm just sitting there going, you're joking. Like, this is not wisdom. I mean, half the time they're blaming me. I'm sitting there, I'm like, what? That's not fair. So, you know. And then another time, I think I've shared with you the school counsellor that we went to, that, I mean, it was just, he was a sweet guy, actually. He was quite a sweet guy, but he was kind of quirky and odd. Do you know what I mean? And he was saying the strangest things about Keelan to Keelan. And I'm sitting there and I started to get the giggles. And I look at Keelan and he did too, because he was saying weird things about, now, this is a chart. Now, can you see this chart? You're here, but you've got to be over here. Now, how are we going to get? And he was talking about these funny things. Anyway, and I'm starting to go, this is just actually quite funny. And I look at Keelan and he's like, he wanted to laugh. And I shot him a dagger look, like, don't, you know, this is all in front of the counselor. Don't you dare laugh in front of the counselor. And so then he was like, So then we kept listening. And then when we walked out and the teachers joined us and this another school person, they joined us and we're chatting away. And Keelan's looking at me the whole time and I'm like, no, don't. Like, I'm giving him the look. Like, we thought it'd be very rude to laugh in front of all these people, because they were trying to help him. And generally, to be honest, the school was fantastic with him. But it was so funny because we finally got into, I remember opening the car door and getting into the car, and then we just looked at each other and we burst into laughter. It was hilarious. Oh, gee, it was funny. But anyway, so there is dark counsel in this world, and don't go there. And God literally says, who's giving this dark counsel? Who are these dark counselors? Avoid. Brace yourself, because I will question you and you will answer me. I think it's interesting that God said brace yourself, because one of the big differences between biblical pastoral counselling and worldly counselling is that we believe in original sin. And so when people come and tell us things, sometimes we go, yes, you might need to repent. What? Repent? You know, we might say things that people don't like, because that's the job of a pastor, to correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And you don't get rebuked out in the world when you go and pay a counsellor, because then you're like, I'm not paying for this. Don't tell me I've done the wrong thing. Whereas pastors are in the position where we're told to do that by the word of God. So that's why you have to brace yourself and listen. You know, maybe I need to change. Maybe there are things going on in my world. So listen to the Lord's wisdom. Don't get bad counsel, but also don't create answers when there are none. Job, he didn't get an answer. Why do I have to go through this, God? I thought I was a good guy. You are a good guy. He didn't get an answer. Sometimes we don't know why. And if we don't know why and there's a mystery, we just have to leave it as a mystery in God. So we just don't always know. But we don't get bitter with God, and we don't blame God. And we know that the Lord has his way in the storm. If we're crying out to him and we open our heart to him, he will bring us through the storm. He will bring us through the storm. I read about, I heard just the other day, you may have heard the same thing, about a Strike Eagle jet fighter that was shot down over Iran. And the two-man crew ejected just in time, but they landed behind enemy lines. This is just recently. The pilot was rescued hours later, but the other airman was wounded, stranded, isolated and in grave danger behind enemy lines, being hunted by the enemy. Now, that's a storm. That's a bad storm. He's in a bad situation. So he activated his emergency transponder, and his first message was this: God is good. I love it. What a great message. That was his first message. So there's his faith and fighting spirit. So obviously he managed to crawl up a mountain and hiding in a crevice, hoping the Americans come before the Iranians. And he's just obviously praying and crying out to God. obviously, and sending that message, God is good. And so, you know, good old Americans, 100 commandos were transported to Iran. They found him. The aircraft got stuck, so they had to bring in new aircraft. Anyway, they got him. They got him out. So he was shot down on Easter Friday. He hid in a cave on the Saturday. He was rescued on Easter Sunday. Does that sound vaguely spiritual, vaguely anointed? On the third day, he came up again in the aeroplane. So, you know, but I just like that story about, you know, just a modern day man. We don't know who he is. We'll probably write a book one day. But in the meantime, he cried out to God and God rescued him from the storm. So that's the lesson. They're the lessons for us, that we will and do go through storms. We humble ourselves. We trust that God is good. And the most, you know, we do open ourselves up to the concept that maybe I've done something. But more important than why I'm going through this storm, much more important, is who is God in the storm? Who is he to you? Who is God? Is he your refuge? Is he our refuge in a storm? Knowing that the storm is not to destroy me, it's to bring me to a place of dependency in God. Is he my teacher in the storm? When I saw this wind, I did all this study on winds. I found that an east wind brings change because it was an easterly wind. And I felt the Lord speak to me that after the storm will come the blessing, because the east wind in the Bible always represents a change of season, which it exactly did, by the way. It was the beginning of autumn. It brought in the cool breeze. That's what I needed to hear. It was a time of blessing. Is he your hope in the storm? Is he your hope? Is he the one that you go to for hope? And listen to this beautiful scripture in Psalm 107 and verse 25. Verse 25, the Lord spoke and stirred up a storm that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' ends. This describes our emotional journey through a storm, doesn't it? Up and down. Sometimes I go, oh, no, it's good, and then down again. Oh, no, help my unbelief, Lord. And it says they were at their wits' ends in this version, and I looked up that word wits. It's wisdom, actually. They've just changed it a little bit there. They were at the end of their wisdom. It's like my wisdom is finished. I don't know. I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go. But verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, as he does. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired or delightful or valuable harbour. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? He is our hope. He brings us through the storm to a beautiful harbour. And when we don't have as much sailing these days as in the past, but if you find a great harbour like Sydney Harbour, it's just such a blessing to finally get into calm waters and be still. And that's what he wants us to experience, that he, listen to that, he stilled the storm. The waves of the sea were hushed and they were glad that it was calm again. He wants to look after us. He wants to look after us. And as Job said, in the midst of all of this, Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. Is he your Redeemer in the storm? Do we know Jesus as the one that saves us and rescues us and redeems the situation? In other words, turns what was bad into something good, turns the storm that made a mess into something that changed my world and my life in a way that makes me better. Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, even the storms. I know my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth, which he did. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much
I thank you for the storms in our world, in our life. I thank you that you do bring us through the storms. And I pray that we will all be honest and true before you and cry out to you and experience your help, your guidance, your calm, your healing. We'll experience you as our loving Father in the midst of a storm, Father God. We are open to hear from you, Lord God. We open our hearts to honestly cry out to you, to honestly seek you, and to keep moving forward with you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.